Miss an interview? Listen to it now at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank. You work hard for your business, so should your bank. Talk to a First Bank business specialist today. First Bank. Business banking for good. Member FDIC.
What a treat we have today to be joined by Stoke, one of your former teammates, couple times over, one of your best friends in the world, the one and the only, Peyton Manning. Stoke.
Peyton, thanks for joining us, buddy. We certainly appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. I just start off. What's been going on with you the last month or so? Times are different. We know that you're a busy guy. Usually you're traveling a lot, doing a lot of things, and obviously you haven't been able to do that. What have you been up to? Seen some of the great things that you've been doing out in the community. We did the blood. We donated blood together. That was set up by you. I saw you got some food for hospital workers. You're doing a golf charity thing that you have set up. Just let us know what you've been up to.
Well, look, it's certainly been an adjustment like it has been for everybody. But, you know, I think during these times, Stoke, I mean, you know, instead of kind of thinking about yourself, you kind of think about others. Think about others and maybe a way you can help out. There's a lot of people hurting during this time, you know, here in Colorado. As you know, down in Louisiana, in our home state, you know, New Orleans especially, is going through a tough time. So you think about others and others' safety and how you might be able to help, whether it's, you know, helping feed some frontline workers or raising money for a cause. We're doing this all-in challenge, you know, which is what you were referring to, put on by Fanatics. You can go to fanatics.com. Anybody can participate. You can buy a raffle ticket for, you know, I think $5 or $10, and you might be in a movie with Leonardo DiCaprio, or for me, you know, it's an option to golf with me and your friends in your hometown and have dinner with more of your friends at a local restaurant in your hometown. That's kind of more of an option, but anybody can contribute on different levels. It's raising money to have, you know, to help food programs, helping kids who need to eat, helping people who are out of work need to eat. So, that's kind of what I've tried to do, is kind of spend my time thinking of others, and obviously keeping our family safe. I'm the kids' PE teacher, so that's kind of my main duties from a school standpoint. So we're about to go out after this interview for PE today, so I'm fulfilling my role as a teacher, I guess.
Well, what does that consist of? What is a PE teacher, Peyton Manning? What does that consist of?
Yeah, we kind of mix it up. You know, it's kind of baseball season right now that we're not, you know, getting to play baseball and softball. So I'm probably heading for elbow surgery. I'm throwing batting practice right now. So, you know,
nice.
overhand pitch, you know, kid pitch. From a Marshall underhand pitch, you know, softball from Mosley. So I'm working the elbow from both angles, but I'm getting it over the plate. They're getting some good swings in. So, you know, we're just trying to get outside, right? It's nice. I'm sure everybody here in Denver appreciates, you know, the weather being good these past few days and looks like the rest of the week. So to get outside and get them exercising a little bit before they go finish kind of their rest of school day.
Peyton Manning joining us. Peyton, thank you so much for dropping by today. A lot of us here in this quarantine state are doing things that we otherwise wouldn't be doing. And one of those things is watching replays of old sporting events. Have you gotten a chance to sit down? I saw the other night on ESPN in primetime, they were playing a Monday Night Football from 2005. You guys in Foxborough, with the Colts, of course. And have you given yourself that opportunity to sit back and watch one of your old games?
I tell you, I had done it a few times just because we've kind of got a group text, you know, kind of like I do with, some old Broncos teammates. We kind of have some old Colts teammates. Stokely's on there. He doesn't respond, you know, all that often. He's kind of selective when he responds. but he's on the thread. And so we had a little group text going, about that game and, you know, Jeff Saturday saying, wow, what a nice block that was. I mean, it was kind of a self-serving text. And, you know, people were talking about, you know, there were a couple of delayed games, and I can't remember those, but I'm not taking responsibility. I'm blaming my center, Jeff Saturday, for not snapping the ball. So As Al Michaels said on the broadcast, Saturday is waiting till Saturday to snap it. So we had some fun with that on the group text. But, yeah, look, there's certainly there's adjustments to make. And part of it, yeah, you're watching football games from 2005. But, sure, it's fun to kind of go down memory lane every now and then.
Peyton, when you're looking at the Broncos this year, and now obviously, look, they're going to take a wide receiver in the first couple rounds. I mean, that's pretty much a given here. What qualities do you look for if you're looking at a receiver? What's important to you when you look at wide receivers?
That's a given with you. You've talked to John. I mean, tell me why that's a given, because that's just your prediction?
Yeah, that's my prediction. Put it in the bank. They won't take a wide receiver in the first couple rounds. Yes, absolutely.
Okay, all right. And speaking after that, I want to get to everybody's been asking kind of about my draft story. So I'm going to talk about your draft day, you know, the party you had on day one of the draft and also the follow-up party you had to have because you didn't get drafted on day one when the Broncos took Travis McGriff over you.
Yeah, and, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah, because you had to have two parties. I mean, that's pretty expensive starting your pro career. Your two parties in the hole, that's a lot of crawfish and my grandfather paid for it.
Yeah, the Broncos did take Travis McGriff in the third round and didn't take me, and that hurt my heart, and I had to go to bed that night and then kind of rerun that party back. So thanks for bringing up my great draft day memories. Kind of like you know, you had to wait so long for you to get picked.
Everybody's got a draft memory. I was talking to my dad about his draft, 1971. He's the second pick in the draft. He says that the Ole Miss, like the PR department, calls him like at 9 o'clock that morning. He said, "Archie, you need to get over here. You're about to get drafted." I mean, he's in school, has like no idea the draft is even that day.
Wow.
He comes over there. The Saints draft him with the second pick at 9:45. He talks to the coach for like 30 seconds, talks to the GM for 30 seconds. Takes a picture, and he makes a 10 o'clock class there at Ole Miss. So,
wow, unbelievable. Times have changed.
Coming a long way. But, you know, wide receiver, obviously, yeah, that'd be exciting if the Broncos got a wide receiver. You know, I hear people talking about Judy from Alabama. I've watched him torch my Tennessee Vols for the past few years, so I know what an exciting player he was. Yeah, you know, I think as a wide receiver, I mean, you're looking for a guy that loves football, you know, number one, truly loves football, loves to work on his route running, practices hard, can keep himself healthy, right? I mean, the best wide receivers I played with, guys like you, Marvin Harrison, Reggie Wayne, you guys were always out there. You practiced every day. Demaryius Thomas, Eric Decker, Wes Welker, out there every day, practiced every day. And when you practice every day, that's how you get your timing down, and that's how you know become productive on the field on Sundays. And so I think you're looking for a durable guy that that obviously catches the ball well and can make some explosive plays.
Peyton, if you were in the shoes of Drew Locke and the Broncos are picking at 15, I know you just want a good football player, whether it's a left tackle or whether it's a wide receiver. You just want a good football player. But if you were in the shoes of Drew Locke, would you have a preference for, you know, what could be more advantageous for your success?
Yeah, you know, look, I'm sure Drew's got a lot on his plate right now. I'm not sure, kind of what his thoughts are. I can't speak for that. As a quarterback in my shoes, you know, I was always I certainly never hated when we drafted offensive players, I have to admit, right? When we drafted Edgerrin James, that was exciting to me in my second year, right? When you draft a tight end, like, you know, we drafted Dallas Clark, that was exciting. So, but yeah, at the same time, I mean, you got to trust the personnel department to try to fill the needs. And if we needed a linebacker and the team went out and got a linebacker, I was all for it. So, look, the draft is about, trying to address some needs but you're counting on these players to come in and be the player that they were in college. You know, the draft to me is kind of confusing. I mean, it's sort of a reward for what you did in college, but it's also your first day on the job to come in here to Denver and be a good player for us. And you hope all the draft choices that Denver has, or really any team has, you hope they have that mentality that today is my first day on the job, and, you know, get that playbook, you know, virtually, you know, and certainly during this quarantine, and get started. Because if you thought you worked hard to get drafted, to me, you need to work even harder once you're drafted to be the player that the Broncos are hoping you're going to be, or any team that drafts you.
Well, and speaking of Drew Locke, how difficult do you think it's going to be? I don't know what you went through during the lockout period and how difficult that was for you. But when you look at Drew Locke, it's a new offense. You're going to have a lot of new pieces around you, and then you can't have an off season. Doesn't look like there's going to be much of one, if any at all. And so you can't have those reps that you were talking about. You're probably going to have a new wide receiver, maybe another new offensive lineman, and you're not going to be able to get those reps in practice. How difficult for a young quarterback like Drew Locke going into his second year do you think this will be for a guy like him?
Yeah, like I said, it's, you know, I never liked – so like when you speak for me sometimes on the radio, I never like that, so I'm not going to speak for, you know, for Drew Locke.
Put yourself in his,
anybody else.
But for a guy like you that likes to prepare, and for a guy like you, how difficult would it be?
Yeah, look, I can't. I mean, there's nothing that I've been through that relates to this. There's nothing that anybody's been through that relates to this. The only thing I, you know, in 2011 we had the NFL lockout where you truly weren't allowed to go into the facility,
and you broke those rules quite a bit, didn't you? How many times did you break those rules that when you weren't supposed to go to facilities or talk
lockout.
To coaches?
I mean, lockout. Doors are locked and you don't even try. I mean, I might have tried to get in there, but it's locked. Couldn't get in.
What about the coaches, communicating with coaches? Did you abide by those rules?
None of that.
Okay, good to know.
But I did, in advance of that, knowing the lockout was coming, I got a bunch of footballs. I got some practice jerseys. I got some old scripts. I got some cards to draw some blitzes and sort of organized kind of our own practices. And we were meeting over to high school. We were throwing routes. We were coming together, doing blitzes and doing walkthroughs and kind of having a semblance of a practice. But I really felt like that the team that can kind of get an edge or an advantage during this time has a real chance to come out ahead on this thing. And I think being creative, you know, obviously going within the rules of what you're allowed to do. I know they're going to have virtual meetings and, you know, there's certain restrictions, but look, I think it's an opportunity to be creative, you know, to kind of take some ownership, as players to sort of lead these meetings and workouts when you're not allowed to be on there with the coaches. And I felt that was going to pay good dividends for us. I really did. But I ended up, you know, it's when I had my injuries and I had my neck problems. Had to have surgery and had to miss the entire season, so never really got to see the fruits of that labor. But that's kind of my encouragement to players, instead of kind of complaining about it, to study some film from last year, even extra film, study your, you know, a specific, you know, fundamentals and techniques that you can improve on. And I think you can actually come out of this whole deal a better player because you had a little more time to study yourself.
And real quick, Zach, jumping in here. Now you told us that you did chat with Drew, you know, a few months ago, and just talk about the plan going through the off season and how you kind of operated. Now we know it's a lot different now, and we saw you speaking to him a little bit at the basketball game, the Nuggets game. Do you have any plans to reach out to him or to have a conversation with him during this off season or throughout the course of the season?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm violating the equivalent of HIPAA of the quarterback conversation, you know, sharing it with everybody. But since you know, it's the third Drew Locke question you've asked, I guess I'm going to break. Drew, look, I've known Drew. Drew came to our football camp, you know, just like Joe Burrow came to our football camp. That's where we kind of get to know some of these quarterbacks and, you know, kind of keep in touch with them, you know, during their senior or junior year in college. You know, congratulate them if they have a big game. You know, my dad really enjoys that, as you know, Stoke, keeping up with these players if they go through a tough injury, you know, encouraging them. Eli and I send them a text. And so Drew came to the camp and obviously was excited when he got drafted here to Denver. And, you know, reached out to him then, told him if I can be a help to you, be a resource, be glad to. And so talked to him a few times throughout the year last year when he got injured. And then, but I did have an extensive talk with him a couple of months ago. He was just kind of asking me how I did things in my off season in my early years. And what kind of things I tried to do. So I sort of shared some of those ideas. Now everything is kind of in a holding pattern right now because of what, you know, the players are allowed to do. But, you know, I talked about organizing maybe, you know, some workouts, you know, outside of the facility. You know, we used to go down to Duke. Remember, Stoke used to come down for the free dinners and the good basketball tickets, but the rest of us were there to work and work on routes and get our timing down.
Great tickets, by the way.
You can kind of take some ownership as a quarterback and organize a little retreat for your receivers. You can study tons of film from last year. I talked about I used to study my interception tape first, my sacks tape first, right? You study kind of the negatives first and what are the common threads? Why am I throwing these interceptions? Let me go create some drills to work on improving on those type of throws. So I was just kind of sharing those type of things with him. But, you know, I try to do that with any quarterback that may, you know, pick my brain. But, you know, certainly being and living here in Denver with Drew being the Broncos quarterback, I've enjoyed trying to be there as a resource. Now, the fact that you're watching us at Nuggets game, Stoke, is a little disturbing. Anyway, I enjoy, you know, going to Nuggets games. If Drew's there, we're probably going to talk. So that might happen again, you know, when basketball season resumes.
The one and the only Peyton Manning joining us here. Peyton, we've seen throughout the history of the National Football League great quarterbacks that won Super Bowls and then late in their career switch teams and try to win another one. Joe Namath, Brett Favre, Joe Montana. There's only been one guy that's done it successfully, and that's you. But there's another attempt happening right now with Tom Brady at 42 years old. If you were going to pass along some advice from personal experience to Tom, what would it be?
Oh, I don't think Tom, you know, needs any advice from me. You know, they got Gronkowski now, so they're going to win the Super Bowl for sure. So there's no advice necessary from me. But, you know, I can tell the way Tom is talking, how excited he is. And certainly I'm very familiar with the coaches that he's playing for. Bruce Arians was my quarterback's coach my first few years in the NFL. He was my coach when I threw those 28 interceptions as a rookie. Now, he didn't put that in his book, I don't think, as a QB whisperer, but he was my coach. So he's got to be, you know, to me, he's got to be a part of those 28 picks. It can't all just be me. Clyde Christensen, who was Brandon's receivers coach in Indianapolis, was my, you know, receivers coach and offensive coordinator for a couple, you know, in Indianapolis. He's down there. Tom Moore, my old coordinator's down there. So, you know, Tom's going to get coached by some great coaches down there. You know, I know they're excited, and you know, to me, it's going to be. It's going to be an exciting year of football when it returns. How many games we're going to get, who knows? But, you know, everybody knows how hard a worker Tom is. And, you know, there's no doubt he's going to help create a winning culture there in Tampa that the rest of the players are going to feed off of.
Now, look, Peyton, we've heard the chatter, the golf battle, right? You, Tiger, Phil Mickelson, and Tom Brady. What can you tell us about it? And also, you know, I just looked at my calendar, and I'm pretty free here. I'm pretty free. So if you need a caddy, you need something, my calendar's wide open. Just to throw that out there.
Well, that's good to know. I'll my pen's out of ink, so I can't write that down. But you know, the fact is, Stoke, I don't know if it's going to happen or not. But if it does, you know, look, there's no caddy in right now with social distancing, so you're out.
I'll stay 6 feet away. I promise.
I don't know if that's possible for you. You know, cause, I mean, if you're stalking me at Nuggets games, you're going to be too close to me on the golf course. So,
we
got to follow the guidelines. But I don't know if it's going to happen or not. You know, but to me, what I know about it is, it was talks about doing it all along anyway, and now. To have a chance to have a major fundraising event for COVID-19 relief, you know, almost like a telethon, if you will, you know, that musicians do, concerts. And so if that can take place, I'm all in for that, to raise money for a number of different causes. There's a lot of people hurting right now, you know, businesses, people in health, in the healthcare industry, restaurants, you name it. And so, if we can participate in a sporting event that raises money for that, then I am all in on that. And, you know, so we'll see. I'm sure, Stokes, you'll probably hear about it before I do.
Peyton, you obviously very recently turned down the offer from Monday Night Football. How close was it for you in terms of consideration?
Yeah, I mean, look, I'm not real interested in sort of, you know, having this kind of watch, you know, of, hey, what you going to do, what you going to do, and sort of, you know, having this drama to it. But I do enjoy listening to different opportunities, and I guess I feel like each year in this kind of second chapter for me, I've tried to take it one year at a time and kind of say, okay, you know, this year in 2018, you know, is this something that you want to do? Yes, all right, let's go do it. In 2020, is this something that you want to do? Maybe not. So, you know, that's kind of the approach that I've taken. I haven't had this, you know, long-term approach maybe that you did, that some people do. And that's kind of how I played football as well. I mean, every year you sort of took it one year at a time because there were different circumstances every single year. And so that's what I've tried to do. I don't really have a one-word job description, but I find myself kind of busy and stimulated doing a number of different things and still close to football, but still have time to do a number of other things and kind of a part of different teams, if you will, Zach, which I enjoy, and different projects. But I have some time to, you know, be with our family you know, do some things I didn't really have a chance to do for 25 years. So, you know, the folks at ESPN have been great. You know, I've done some other projects with them, with the detail, the quarterback show, and the Peyton's Places, kind of telling the history of that. We're going to try to go for round two on Peyton's Places if and when, you know, things kind of open back up. And if we're allowed to do it, we're going to try to tell the stories that we didn't get to tell, which I've enjoyed doing that. So they've been very supportive in some of the things that I've enjoyed doing.
Well, that's awesome. We certainly appreciate you joining us and all the things that you're doing and you've done in the community. And certainly, you know, the Peyton's Places has been on, and it's been fun to watch all those. And you do a great job with those. And hopefully we get round two of that. But thanks, Bud, for joining us. But on the way out, what did you sing a song with Kenny Chesney or so? What happened there? Why did I never hear about it?
Well, tell me why you heard about it now is what I'd like to know. I mean, talk about going back. That's a long time ago.
When was this?
I did sing a song with Kenny Chesney. It was for a fundraising NFL Country Singer United Way fundraising event. But did go into the studio with him in Nashville. And it wasn't pretty.
It's not bad. It's not bad. Well, don't be too hard on yourself.
I mean, the process wasn't pretty. The final editing, These guys can do some special things now. But, I mean, and I remember the one producer, like, he was so concerned about hurting my feelings. He was like, oh, Peyton, that sounds really, really good. But, I mean, let's just do it one more time. Like, 75 takes later, I'm still doing it one more time. I'm like, look, I stink. Just tell me and just fix it where I sound halfway decent. And, you know, my goal was to try to be where you couldn't tell when I was singing and when Chesney was singing. I couldn't quite get it to that. But, you know, Whatever It Takes was the name of the song. So that was the name of the song. So,
yep. And Peyton, and I'm going to break protocol here. I have to ask you one more question, and I apologize in advance because we've already kept you too long. But you just mentioned the United Way, and I went back last night and watched your SNL skit, and I laughed out loud all over again. And we threw it out to our audience on social media. If you have a question for Peyton, go ahead and ask away, and maybe we'll use one of them on the air. And the actor, Josh Segura, who has been on Orange is the New Black and Chicago PD, he wanted to know, what kind of reservations did you have before that skit, and how much did you need to be pitched on that, and just how outside of your comfort zone were you for that very famous and iconic skit?
Oh, I had a ton of reservation about it. I mean, I was all for kind of going up to the edge, you know, once they kind of told me the idea, and once they sort of showed me what it was going to look like with some sound effects, and I was like, wow, you know, this feels over the edge, and I'm not sure I'm going to do it. And, you know, the hardest thing about it, Zach, is the kids, like their parents were out there the whole time watching. I mean, they were, you know, a couple of them might have been child actors. Like the other ones were like friends of, you know, like the director's kids. And so it was kind of a mixed group, but the parents were watching, and I'm like pegging these kids in the head, and it's a little awkward, and the director's like, you got to whack them right in the face. That's the only way it's going to work. You're a charitable guy. This is a spoof, but you got to be all in. I mean, you got to throw it as hard as you can. Now, look, the football was a Nerf football. Like, the Nerf was cut out. It was not hurting them at all. But basically, he said, I want you to treat him like they're rookie wide receivers with bad attitudes. I'm like, I can relate to that. I know what a rookie with a bad attitude looks like, and it's frustrating for a quarterback. So that was kind of channeling that. But I was about to cancel it, and I said, I can't do it. It's just too uncomfortable. And one of the parents ran out onto the set and told the director that he wanted me to hit his kid in the face. And I said, okay, all right, I'll do it. I will knock your kid out now since you blessed me with your permission. So I kind of got over it after that.
Thank you so much, Payton. We can't thank you enough for your time. And, we just thankful that you stopped by today. Appreciate
it. Thanks, buddy. Appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right, y'all stay safe.
You work hard for your business. So should we. That's why First Bank offers commercial real estate loans, business lines of credit, and online cash management solutions. With tools and services designed to make your business run easier, your day could have less this and more this. Visit eFirstBank.com/business to learn more. First Bank, business banking for good. Member FDIC.
First Bank. Banking for good.